You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill for Monday the 9th of July. We'll get to the action that's going to be up live on Racing Radio from Worcester, Ayr, Wolverhampton, Windsor, Roscommon and Ripon. And do join the guys in the studio from 1:40pm for coverage of the day's racing. But here on the podcast, my name's John Gibby, joined by Andy Gibson. Hello Andy, how are you?
I'm very good. John, how are you doing?
Yes, very good indeed. In a minute we'll take a look at a couple of the races coming up on Monday from Ayr, but we'll start off by taking a look back at Saturday's action. Mm-hmm. When we had the Eclipse card at Sandown, of course, the first group one, which sees three-year-olds match up against some of the older horses. We'll look at that race in a minute, but first of all, the group two that opened the card, the Charger, Judicial, justified favouritism for that one for Julie Camacho and Paul Mulrennan. Was this a performance you were impressed by, Andy?
Well, yeah, but I love these sprints because, and especially these sprints at Sandown, I think they've always been attractive to me, and it's all about the draw at Sandown. Judicial was drawn in four, and that looked to be a really key draw for him, where he was going to be able to track the pace on the rail and then and be in a really positive position close home. You oppose that with Muthmere, who was drawn seven. Now, last year, Muthmere was drawn eight in this race, could never get into the race from the wide outside, and eventually finished fourth. This year, finished seventh, couldn't get into the race from his draw. You know, he will be described as an unlucky loser through having a difficult path through, but he's not unlucky if before the race you can see that from stall seven he's going to have a difficult path through. That's just part and parcel of being drawn seven. Likewise, Mirza. Now, Mirza came second in this race last year from stall one, and from stall nine here had to be really fast away from that wide draw to get the rail, which obviously then he probably paid for in the end. The horse that I would take out of the race is the horse that was drawn in one. Now, often, stall one at Sandown in a 5 furlong sprint is a brilliant draw, but in the case of Dream of Dreams, who's dropping back from 7 and 6 furlongs and is better on soft ground, or certainly good to soft ground, this was the worst draw he could have had because he was bound to be outpaced in the first furlong of the race and therefore stuck on the rail, and that's exactly what happened. He finished full of running. He was only beaten 2.25 lengths, and he is a horse to seriously mark up when we get a little bit of rain, we get some good to soft ground, and when he stepped up a furlong.
One to take out of that group three contest then, Dream of Dreams for Andy. The feature race on the card, of course, the Eclipse, that group one contest over a mile and a quarter. It was a shame with the Derby when Amasar was obviously an absentee, a non-runner in the race, but a Roaring Lion has come out to just edge the 2000 guineas winner Saxon Warrior in the closing stages. A great Gosden O'Brien battle. We love seeing these in the big group ones, Andy. And Roaring Lion with that group one to his name now, having come out and obviously run well in the guineas in the Derby.
Yeah, and he won despite not enjoying the best of trips round. At one point, Wazin Murphy was taking him five wide as he came round the bend. That's not ideal at Sandown with a short running. Saxon Warrior enjoyed a much more favourable passage through the race. I still think Saxon Warrior ran a really, really good race considering that he had a tough race just 7 days earlier in the Irish Derby. The big question with him, of course, is what's his best trip? Did he stay the Irish Derby trip? Did he stay the Epsom Derby trip? Did he stay yesterday? Well, you know, of course, he got home in each of those races. The point for me is where is he going to be able to run, or what trip is he going to be able to run over his optimum, to his optimum, should I say. And I think that I don't think we'll see him at a mile and a half again. I'll be surprised. and I think we'll now see him either a mile and a quarter, a mile. He's either going to go international and Irish Champion Stakes, or they're going to drop him back to a mile somewhere and use his pace and go from the front.
Sussex Stakes maybe at Goodwood?
Possibly, and I suppose on the, you know, I think that would be sort of the obvious one, but on the other hand, a horse dropping back from a mile and a half to a mile and a quarter and then running on over a very fast mile downhill at Goodwood wouldn't be ideal. So maybe the Queen Elizabeth over the straight mile at Ascot, that might be on their minds. Sort of a more galloping mile, I'm not sure. But, you know, he certainly stays, but when he won the Guineas, he looked like he was sort of the next coming, and they said, you know, he's going to go the Triple Crown, the St. Ledger, the Derby, etc. Well, clearly he's not that horse anymore, and the very fact that they ran him 7 days after the Irish Derby suggests that now they're seeing him as, look, let's try and win a Group 1 race beyond a mile with this horse for breeding for his stud value, rather than let's treat him like he's an absolute superstar. I think they've had the wind taken out of their sails a little bit with him, and he's obviously still an absolute high-class horse, but not the sort of super champion that they were hoping that he was going to be.
Good performances from Roaring Lion. The winner is Saxon Warrior, back in second then in the Eclipse at Sandown on Saturday. We turn our attention to look at Monday's racing now, Andy, and it's all live on Racing Radio, of course, including the Car for Mare, and I believe both your selections run at the Scottish venue.
Yeah, and the first one is Paul Midgley's Sprinter, Line of Reason, who runs in a 3.35. He's been running really well. I mean, two runs ago at Beverley, he was second, beaten 2 1/4 lengths to Judicial, who we've just mentioned winning the Group 3 at Sandown yesterday, so that's really good form. He then went to the Curragh in it for a £53,000 race, and he just got pipped half a length, finishing third of 17 there, a week ago. So I think this represents a drop in grade for him, and I think that you know, as a consequence, I would seriously mark him up for this. I don't know if he'll win. I think he'll run extremely well, but you know, we're talking about a Monday race with plenty of sort of low fare racing. This looks a decent race for a Monday air, and Line of Reason is dropping in grade. I think he has a good chance.
Line of Reason then for Paul Midgley and Joe Fanning in that 3.35 at Ayr is Andy's first selection. And what about your other?
For the Knapp, I would go with a Roger Fell horse, Club Wexford, in the 4.05 at Ayr. And the reason that I've gone for him is because last time out in a much bigger field at York, he was drawn 3. And there was two horses that looked quite interesting that day, Club Wexford and Voyager Blue. And I thought I preferred the claims of Club Wexford because Voyager Blue from the Jamie Osborne yard was drawn 11, and I thought it was going to be very difficult for him to get to the front. As it turned out, Club Wexford drawn 3 completely missed the kick, which is a huge negative at York, because then that meant he was stuck on the rail, didn't have anywhere to go up the home straight, plugged on for fourth place, but I suspect that he would have gone an awful lot closer if he hadn't have missed the kick. I don't think he makes that much of a habit of missing the kick. In this smaller field, if he does miss the break, he's not going to face as much trouble in running, and I think he'll go very well. I'm not sure what price he'll be. The winner of that race, Paris Mountain, was a very surprise winner at 20-1. He takes him on again. I think Club Wexford has a very good chance of reversing that form.
And Club Wexford, the only course and distance winner in the field. Sometimes find that a course form at Ayr can help, because it's like a little bit undulating, and with the turns as well, sometimes it does take a certain type of horse.
Yeah, certainly. Not as obvious as somewhere like perhaps Chester or somewhere like that. But, you know, I think that the long home straight at Ayr takes a bit of getting.
So Club Wexford then for Andy in that 4.05 at Ayr. You can hear it live on Racing Radio, along with the rest of the day's action. Please do join us on Monday from 1:40 in the afternoon online or on the William Hill app. The podcast will return tomorrow as well. But Andy, thanks for joining me on today's edition.
Very welcome.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.